You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
Welcome to William Hill's Rugby Union podcast. I'm Michael Casey and joined as ever on the line by former England international prop forward Jeff Probyn. And Jeff, we're in a, I guess, celebratory mood this weekend because they've done it. England have won the Six Nations.
Yeah, and we did say at the start it was going to be an England Six Nations. I believe I owe you £1 because of our private bet, which was that you said Scotland would definitely win the game, and I said that Italy would go out there and do it. But,
well, Jeff, I wasn't going to bring it up,
no,
but seeing as you brought
France
it up,
do it. But, see, you know, so I owe you that pound. What can I say?
I'll be chasing it for you after we finish recording. But no. the challenge now, of course, for England as we head into the final weekend is for them to complete a Grand Slam. The first Grand Slam it would be for an English side since 2003, of course, was, I think we alluded to previously in this podcast series, a year that holds some significance for English rugby. And to be fair to you, Jeff, you've been quite keen on the Grand Slam since the early stages of the tournament.
Yeah, I've thought that England could do it. I think that, you know, the reality is they've produced good results. They have kept mainly the same squad that they had going into the World Cup. Yes, there's been a couple of changes, but basically it's the same group of players. They let themselves down in the World Cup. They now have a chance to prove it right. It's going to be very, very difficult against the French. The French side has evolved under Guy Nouveau, who's brought in, obviously, Trandouka as a fly half. He's moved on from Plisson as his first choice fly half. And as such, it's going to be an interesting game in Paris, should we say, for that Grand Slam decider.
Well, it's an interesting game in Twickenham. I mean, I've seen it described as various things. One thing was the most one-sided four-point victory this particular fellow on Twitter had ever seen. England were absolutely fantastic for so long, and then just right at the death, Wales very, very nearly, you know, sneaked in under the radar.
Yeah, it's just as well that we didn't have 10 points like we did in the World Cup.
True.
Otherwise, we would have lost. And, you know, you saw England deliver on all fronts. Certainly, their front five were the dominant front five. Mario Toji was an outstanding player. I think George Cruz was unbelievable in his ability and what he did there. I always said that, I think, and I said last week, that I think that Wales made a mistake in not picking two prickers there starting open side. In a way, that was proved right because the Welsh didn't get the breakdowns quick enough. England were able to dominate those early stages of the game, managed to get the points on the board, and put themselves in a position where Wales couldn't come back. Interesting game, but this will be a different week. The French forwards will be as strong as the English forwards. They've brought in a few changes. They've changed their back row. They've looked at the England back row and seen the power that England have in their back row. And they've brought in Leroux and Goujon, who are mixed with Jolly, who Jolly has moved from number 8 to blindside. So they've picked a power back row to try and challenge England in that breakdown area.
Let's move on to this weekend's games then. And firstly, one that I guess you'd say is maybe not too much riding on it. It's the first game of the weekend. It's in Cardiff. It's Wales versus Italy. I guess this will be a Wales side that will want to finish the tournament on a high, having got so very close at in the late stages last week. Dan Liddy is actually leading the side this week. It is a slightly changed team from the side that faced England. There's four changes in Warren Gatland's team. They go with a front row of Rob Evans, Scott Bolin, Sanson Lee. Second row, Luke Charteris and Bradley Davies. A back row of Dan Liddiot, that man Justin Tipperick that you're talking about, and Toby Fartower-Tate. Halfbacks, Webb and Bigger. Midfielder, Roberts and Davies. Hallam Amos and George North on the wing. Liam Williams at fullback. There are a couple of changes for the Azzurri as well. I think four in total, including a change at fly half. I'll just get the full team up now, but the bookies, rightly, I guess, do not give the Italians any hope at all in this game. Wales are 1-100, Italy 25-1, the handicap 35 points. Do you think that it could well go that way, Jeff? I think obviously everyone's expecting, and it'd be one of the surprises of the year if Italy did win, but 35 points on the handicap?
Yeah, no, I can't see Italy coming back from this. I mean, the game they played against Ireland last week kind of put Italy where they are at this moment in time. They're still not strong enough to compete with the best teams in this in the Six Nations. Wales will be out there looking for blood. I think Halamaios coming on the side probably gives them a little bit more strength in terms of their back line. You can expect that. I mean, Dan Biggar has played outstandingly well in this Six Nations. If we were picking a Lions team tomorrow, Biggar would probably be the first choice fly half. He's controlled the games really well. I think Rhys Webb coming in at scrum half doesn't weaken the team at all. And they have a good front eight. And in that sense, you kind of think to yourself, where can Italy go? Italy have suffered a few injuries. They've lost Camberbario, the guy who plays for Exeter in the centre. They've lost him for this game. They're weakened as a side. Sergio Parisi will always be there. He'll be out there digging and fighting his corner. But the reality is, you know, Wales are going to be 20, 30, maybe 40 points better.
Yep, so 35, probably about a fair line. Just to go through those chains, as you mentioned, Michel Campagnaro, the ex-chief centre, he's out with medial knee ligament damage, replaced by Andrea Pacitetti. Tommaso Allan makes his first start at 10. He'll start outside Palazzini. Martin Castro Giovanni is back in the side. He obviously, I think it was Scotland, he received a two-week ban for stamping. So it is a bit of a changed upside. Five changes in total to Jack Brunel's team that he from last week, which I guess he needed a bit of a change. But as you alluded to, hammered over in Dublin at the Aviva, 58-15, the final score. So if we pick the bones out of this, Jeff, you're quite keen on Wales minus 35.
Yeah, I am. You know, you look at it and you just think that Wales, having suffered that defeat against England, will be on the back foot. They've not played. They didn't play well in that game. Warren Gatland would have given them, the whole team, a rocket. We can expect them to go out there and deliver a performance. And you know, reality says that Italy, with their injuries, you know, they haven't got Gorey, they haven't got their star players. They're a side that are really going to struggle in this game. I'll be surprised if it's not very similar to last week's game against Ireland.
Well, the margin of victory last week against Ireland was 43, says getting his calculator out. You can back Wales minus 40 at 6-4, a similar scoreline. Well,
that's a good
scoreline.
Bet. I think that's a good bet.
That could be a way to go. A bet that we talked about last week in some of the other games, which is sometimes a way in, particularly if you think a side might run away with it. Highest scoring half to be the second half. We've seen the Italians in, perhaps not so much last week, but in previous rounds, be competitive in the early stages and then just kind of get overpowered towards the back end of the fixture. The second half to be the highest scoring half, Jeff, at 4-7. Would that be a bet that makes appeal?
Yeah, I think that the reality is that Italy will go out there against Wales and produce a first half performance. You know, Sergio Parisi will be banging the troops on, pulling them together. But ultimately, they're going to fall away and they're going to suffer with the likes of George North, Jamie Roberts, Jonathan Davis, Halamaios running at them, and it will create spaces, and there will be tries.
There will be tries. We've got the two teams now, and it won't be long until we have full prices available on the try scorers. Of course, this week, as we have done all tournaments, is our try again offer with William Hill. If you're first try scorer scores second, money back as a free bet. I guess it'll be those chaps that you've just alluded to as the potential try scorers for you then, Jeff. I guess Halamaios maybe with a point to prove. He's been behind Cuthbert for most of this tournament. George North is currently the leading try scorer in the competition. Who would you be looking for as a try scorer in this fixture?
I'd look at Amos. I think that Amos, coming in the side, as you say, he's got a point to prove. He'll be looking for the opportunity to score a try. Jonathan Davis, always worth a bet, running off the shoulder of Jamie Roberts. Big, strong man who's going to suck in players, create spaces. I'd look at both those players as two players for the Welsh side. Obviously, Bellini for the Italian side, I think, you know, he's a winger who puts himself about, puts himself in the positions. He's got to be there or thereabouts.
Very good. I'm going to throw Rhys Webb into the mix because, as scrum halves go, he's always seems to go looking for the ball, and he's got a pretty decent record of getting over the whitewash, has the Welsh scrum half. On to game two.
Before we move on from there, let's look at Toby Falatoa. He's always got to be in there as a potential try scorer.
Yeah, obviously a fantastic work rate on the Welsh number 8. I was reading some of the stats on the amount of carries and tackles he's made this tournament. Really phenomenal for Toby Faletau, another selection as an anytime try scorer. Let's move on to the second game of the weekend. Obviously, all this weekend's games are on Saturday. And I think this probably will be the closest game of the weekend, and I think it's priced up accordingly. So, Ireland versus Scotland. Ireland 2-5, the draw 20-1. Scotland 2-1. Both sides come into this game on the back of wins. Ireland, obviously, with the thrashing of Italy that we just referenced in the a couple of moments ago. And then Scotland, who beat France 29-18. Are you any more convinced on Scotland now? Do you think, haven't your opinion changed on them, Jeff? Or do you think it was a bit of a flash
not
in the pan,
all,
that result?
Not at all. I still see Scotland as being the mealy men. I think that they, if you like, got the benefit of the referee's decisions in that game against France. I don't think that will happen here. They're going to the Aviva Stadium. The Irish will be full bubbled, buoyed up by the result against Italy. We can expect the Irish side to go out there and perform really well. I think that Ireland will win by between 15 and 20 points.
Well, then there's plenty of value in the handicap. Just 7 points, the favouritism for Ireland. One converted try, of course. 10 to 11, they are minus 7 points. We do, of course, have variations on the handicap. You can take it as large as 22 points if you so desire. 12 points on the handicap, Jeff. Minus 12 on the Irish is 7 to 4. We've also got winning margin live bets available, and you could have the Irish to win by 13 or more points at the same price. I guess you'd just take the 12 on the handicap. Plenty of players who've been in decent try-scoring form coming into this game. Obviously, both the teams have now been named. If you're looking at standouts for Ireland, I guess it's Tommy O'Donnell who's starting at 7. But a potent-looking backline. Simon Zebo continues at 15 in the absence of Rob Kearney. Wings, Andrew Trimble and Keith Earls. Robbie Henshaw and Jared Payne in midfield. Conor Murray inside Jonathan Sexton at half-back. The Scots, I mean, I've been banging the drum about Tommy Seymour and his try-scoring prowess. I think he's got 2 for the tournament, so I don't think we're going to quite land that top tournament try-scorer bet that we put up in week one. But Stuart Hogg had a good game last weekend. Alex Dunbaro is a threat with ball in hand. Who would you be looking for to cross the whitewash at the Aviva on Saturday?
When you look at the two sides, they are reasonably evenly matched in terms of some of the quality players they've got, but you just got the feeling that the Irish have that little bit more. I'd look at Trimble. He had an outstanding game. I think Zebo, who's taken over that fullback role, he offers enormous threats from that fullback position. You know, we know from Scotland that Hogg is a tremendous threat. Does he score tries? Hogg doesn't score that many tries, but he creates them for the likes of Seymour and Visser. Let's have Seymour as a possible try scorer for Scotland. For the Irish, obviously Trimble and Henshaw have got to be guys you're going to look at.
Yeah, I don't think I'd make too much opposition to any of that. However, I must have some sort of Scottish blood in me somewhere, because I don't think they'll win in Dublin this weekend, but I'd fancy them to stay within that 7-point handicap. So
I'm not so sure. I think this will be a 10 to 15 point margin.
We will see. And let's move on to the final game of the weekend then, and the big one from obviously those of us from this nation, England supporting rugby fans, France versus England. It's 8 o'clock kickoff at the Stade de France. France are 5-2 outsiders, England 1-3. The handicap's 8 points. England come into this game obviously undefeated in the top, well, not just undefeated, on the back of 4 straight wins into this tournament, chasing a first Grand Slam since 2003. We all think they do it, don't they, Jeff?
I'm going to take a deep breath and I'm going to say that I actually think this might be a draw.
Jeff. I mean, the draw's there at 25-1, so, you know, punters, jump on that, and if it lands, I'm sure you'll be getting thank you cards through the post, but really?
Well, yeah. I think that you look at the French, you look at how Nouveau's changed that team. I think against Scotland, there were certain elements in that team that produced some very good rugby. That first try, outstanding. I think the fact that he's picked Trian Ducker's fly half there, who's he's combined him with Meshard, the scrum half, and they work really well as a partnership. He's beefed up his back row. He's brought LaRue and Goujon into the back row. So he's recognised the threat of England's back row. This is a French team that had something to prove. They're not as bad as their third stroke pole position in the table represents. They're a side that are developing. They will fancy their chances going into this game in Paris, playing at home, trying to develop a side. England, let's be honest, if that game had gone on for another 10 minutes against Wales, there is a possibility that England could have lost. Yes, they had a sin bin, but they did fall apart in terms of the defence. The French are very, very good at unpicking that defence, playing those sort of games. You know, I think it's going to be very, very close. And from that point of view, for me, the draw's a wild outside bet.
Is there at 25-1? I mean, obviously, if you think that it could be that close and the draw's a play, you can take France plus 8 points at 10-11, and you can feel pretty good about that bet. You can even narrow that handicap down a bit, maybe make it as small as 3 points, France plus 3 at 7-4 there. We'll just run through the teams quickly. As you mentioned, it has been a back row change for the French. Front row of Jason Poirot, Guillaume Garrido, Rabah Salmani. Second row, Alexander Flancart, Johan Maestri at lock also. Damien Schuele, Bernard Leroux and Laurent Goujon in the back row. As you mentioned, it's Maxime Machinot at 9, Francois Tranduc at 10, wingers Rimi Bakatawa, Wesley Fofana, Gael Ficou and Maxime Mermo in midfield, Scott Spedding at 15. Just two changes to the England side that held on against Wales last week. Mako Vunipola in at loose head, and Danny Kerr comes in for Ben Youngs at scrum half. I have to say, Jeff, that you've been so confident on England all the way through the tournament. They're going to win the grandstand, they're going to win the championship, and I was maybe not quite so confident. And now that I'm here with you, and I think that England are a sure thing to run riot in Paris, you're going the other way. It's I suppose it wouldn't be a compliment.
Michael, with all these things, you look at how England have played, and you know, they've done okay. They still haven't dominated really in these games. They dominated that first 35 minutes, certainly against Wales, but they did kind of fall apart. If they do that against France, France had the weaponry to be able to actually take this game. And you know that France are really going to look to stop England scoring this Grand Slam victory and making sure they do something different.
Is it as much? It's a question of bottle then rather than ability for you?
Of course, yeah. Okay. Yeah, bringing Wesley Fofana on the wing is a brilliant move by Nouvet. He's seen as a centre. He has power. He has pace. He has a great vision. He is a world class player, and I think there's not many English people would disagree with that. So you kind of see him as someone who can offer attack options in the middle of the field, who can actually bring something to that French side. I think the French side certainly showed last week against Scotland, despite the fact they lost, but there are areas in their game that are getting better. And here we are, we're on the last game of the tournament. They are playing at home. They're going to challenge England. This is not going to be the cakewalk that, on paper, that it should be.
So I'll just reiterate your thoughts. And the draw is there at 25-1, maybe worth a couple of quid. France plus 8 points at 10-11. Would you be tempted to take a French win? I know it might pain you to say it, but do you think the 5-2 they win the game's too big a price?
You know, there's a bit of me that says that there is that possibility of Plisson coming on in the dying minutes and kicking a 60-metre goal to possibly win it. My heart says England all the way. My head says that France will do their best to really cock up our Grand Slam.
Fair enough. You've mentioned Wesley Fofana and him switching to the wing, which I agree is an interesting swap and one that could be quite exciting to see. Anthony Watson's been one of England's, if not England's, main, try-scoring threat so far this tournament. Would you be looking at any of those players or any others for a try on Saturday evening?
Well, you know, looking at it, it's going to be a front-row challenge. You're going to have to, it's going to be about the forwards, how they dominate or if they don't dominate. So you've got to look at Vinopola. Billy Vinopola is a potential try-scorer. You're going to look at Danny Kerr as being someone who's close to the action. If we get up to their line, for the French, you're going to look at obviously the likes of I always say what's his name, Val Callum,
the winger, Rémi Vaquetal.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, you've got to look at him, his power and pace there. Dujon coming up there as a back row forward, number eight, who's brought into this side. You always get something exciting from first-time caps and guys who are in there who've given the chance. Goujon's there. He's given the chance. He's got to show what he can do. Technical try scorer for the French.
Well, Jeff, I really hope you're wrong, but there you go. Final call of the podcast, the French to derail the chariot in Paris.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.